ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we are in the last week of January, and something beautiful happened in this month of January. In the second week, we had the annual sports and cultural meet, and in the previous episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside, I shared with you a conversation, a very beautiful episode of the sports meet. You had the conversation, heard the conversation with Mr. Sai Satish, one of the faculty members of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, and the story of the lion dance, how Swami cured him of the lion dance, how Swami creates lions out of his students through his grace. And it was a very touching episode as we reflected on the beautiful saga of love that gets visible palpably during the sports meet. And in fact, I had the chance to have one more conversation on this theme of sports meet, and that was with Dr. Shivakumar, N. Shivakumar of the Brindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. He was involved in the Department of Management Studies in Prashanti Nilayam, and now he looks after the boys in the Brindavan campus. He teaches them commerce, accounting. And he is someone who has been associated with Bhagwan for many years, more than 30, 35 years. And this conversation with him opened a very beautiful tapestry of the way sports meet has evolved over the years. So this is something which will give you a very broad overview of what is it that Bhagwan wanted to instill in every student when he started the sports meet way back in the early 80s, and how over time Swami slowly changed the focus of the sports meet till it stabilized to what it is today. Perhaps the format that you see today stabilized in the early 90s. So over 10 years, Swami slowly built this event towards a particular direction, a particular goal, and how that happened is so beautiful, and the lessons that were all along the way for the student and for the faculty members to imbibe, and the way Swami did it so lovingly, so sweetly, sometimes very covertly, sometimes overtly, but it was all a very beautiful training of going back to how sports should be played. So let's listen to this interesting conversation with Dr. N. Shivakumar of the Brindavan campus, and then I will share with you something else also. Something very interesting connected with the sports meet, as well as connected with the students and connected with empowering the students. So we'll come to that after this conversation about the sports meet. Sai Ram, and welcome Shivakumar sir to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. It's really lovely to have you here when we are now having the annual sports and cultural meet of Prashanti Nilayam. And the Brindavan boys put up a beautiful show as always. Sir, you are someone who has had the blessing of being with Bhagwan for the last 37 years as a student and then as a faculty member. Have seen generations of students, mentored hundreds of them. Can I ask you, from all these years of being with Bhagwan, your most beautiful moment of being a part of the sports and cultural meet?
Thank you, Bishu. At the outset, let me offer my most prayerful pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. As you very rightly told, Bishu, it has been a great joy to be a part of the sports meet year after year for several years till date. Among the many memorable incidents that I have, one particular personal incident which has always given me lots of joy has been this incident which happened somewhere in the year 93-94.
Mm-hmm.
Swami had allowed the teachers and the research faculty to put up a drama as a part of this sports meet program. The skit that we had chosen was called The Bitter Truth.
Mm-hmm.
It was again based on Swami's Chinnakatha, in which a young man goes to the guru and tells that his entire family loves him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the guru teaches him by telling that it is God who truly loves everyone.
Okay, the guru gives the pill.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe you should narrate the story a little bit.
Yeah.
For those who are unfamiliar, yeah. But it's a very interesting story.
Yeah. The story goes this way. The guru tells that young man to take a pill after he reaches back home. And for the outside world, it would look as if he is no more. But he would be very conscious inside. So the man goes home, that young man goes home, takes that pill, and he falls totally externally looking dead. And then one by one, all his family members, they come, cry literally, telling that why that young life had to be taken when they were all ready to sacrifice their lives.
Mm.
So it included the father, the mother, the grandfather, his younger brother.
The guru comes into the picture, right?
The guru comes into the picture and tells that now that you are all so much interested in sacrificing your own life for this young man, the guru tells that I will be able to revive him if any one of you is actually willing to sacrifice your life.
Since you love him so much.
Yeah, I love him so much. And immediately everybody backs out. The mother backs out, father, grandfather,
everybody.
The wife and the younger brother, everybody back out. And then the guru again revives that young man and then tells him that the real truth, which is actually a bitter truth, is that God is the person who truly loves everyone.
Yes.
And people should not be totally reliant only on worldly love.
Develop your deep attachment only to God.
Only to God. So this was the story which the teachers had planned to put up. And as we could notice from it, there were two young roles. One was the young man, the protagonist of the story. And the other one was his younger brother.
Okay.
So myself and another teacher, we had the choice of between these two roles. And as Swami wanted it, I got not the protagonist's role, but the young brother's role. And interestingly, for the protagonist, the role would be in this entire 20-minute program. The role would be in the first 3 minutes when he would be meeting the guru, and in the last 3 minutes when again the guru would revive him. The remaining middle, close to some 10 to 12 minutes, its entire role was just to sleep in the entire drama.
And silently listen to the conversation.
Silently listen to the conversation, that's right. And I got the younger brother's role. And the initial part of that role involved a huge amount of crying because I had to convey all my sorrow that my elder brother had passed away so suddenly. And I also had to cry telling that he was totally supporting my medical education. I wanted to become a big doctor and make him proud. And then after some time, the guru would come and ask me whether I was willing to sacrifice my life. And until then, I had been crying and I had to change my emotions suddenly to show that I was not interested. So this was the entire my participation. And the drama, the skit came out very successful. There were lots of accolades for the protagonist, who was, he was supposedly the central character, though in the drama as such he would be, for more than 50% of the skit, he would be actually lying down, sleeping. And there were lots of accolades, and mine was considered to be, after all, one of the side roles. But the very next day, I learnt a very beautiful lesson. The lesson was, when Swami came near me during the darshan, Swami saw me and told in Telugu, "Nanna, nu baga edchavara. You cried very well yesterday." This was a very wonderful feeling for me when I could make out that Swami had noticed my crying the previous day during the drama.
He was congratulating you on your performance.
On my performance. I understood one very important lesson at that time, That was, it is not as important to know what role we are playing in a skit, in a drama, or possibly in an entire scheme of things. For Swami, more than what role we play, more important is how we play whatever role has been assigned to us. Because if we play our role very perfectly, very sincerely, that is what Swami wants us, because each of these roles assigned to us is only for our personal evolvement and development.
Even if you have not got so-called an important role, but you become important for Swami.
For Swami.
If you do the role that is given to
given
you.
Given to me.
Well.
Very well. To Swami's satisfaction.
Wow.
That was a very beautiful lesson that I...
So you should never ever feel that, you know, I have got this small role. In a drama, okay, I have got a role which is not that important. Or in the scheme of life, you know, in whatever we are doing, we are in a college, we are in a hospital, we are in a professional environment.
Yeah.
You know, we can always think, I didn't get this role in my job or I didn't get this role in my family.
Correct.
But do whatever you have got well.
Even if you take in the success organizations,
yes.
Some may feel that I am just a sevadal. Some may think that...
I'm the district president.
Is the district president, state president.
Yeah.
Everybody has a role. Yeah. But even if I am a small person in the form of a role of a sevadal, if I play that role very correctly and well, that is what really pleases Swami.
Yes. I mean, Swami is looking at not what role you are doing, but how you are
doing. How you are doing that.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Amazing. I think when you look at this journey of the annual sports and cultural meet, and every year, every student participates in so many events.
Correct.
And you as a teacher have had the opportunity to not only participate as a student, but, you know, after that, guide any number of students year after year. Sir, probably, you know, you are someone who came to Bhagwan in the 80s. You became a student in the early 80s. So, possibly you have seen the growth of sports meet. I mean, how the sports meet that we see today as a beautiful festival of creativity, sublimity, beauty and color, which happens on the January 11th. It has evolved over the years, isn't it?
Correct. You're right. In fact, beauty of it is Swami himself guided the growth of the sports meet in many ways, which Swami possibly wanted to take the shape that he wanted it finally to take. I remember in the initial years of the sports meet, the entire concentration was actually conducting the sports events. In fact, the students of Brindavan would come to Prashantinilayam. We would be actually playing in these 4-5 days allotted during this time, the matches, which were in those times called as the inter-campus competition matches.
So there'd be like matches, football, cricket,
basketball, volleyball, ball, badminton. These matches would be held. In the evenings, there would be quiz competition between Brindavan and Parthi.
Okay.
There were also individual competitions like elocution competition and various other athletic events. The 100 meters sprint, the 5000 meters race, the hammer throw, the javelin. All these competitions would be held between this time, between 11th and 14th. And then the prize distribution would also take place during this time. And one of the things that Swami wanted initially was Swami wanted all the students to participate in these competitions, because surely sports has a very important role to play in everybody's life. At a very basic level, sports improves our health, sports improves our physical fitness.
Yes.
And as Swami tells that a healthy mind can always be only in a healthy body.
Correct.
We require to maintain this body in a healthy condition, which is ultimately a temple of God.
Yes.
So therefore, Swami wanted it at the initial level. Swami wanted it physical fitness.
Yes.
And every student got an opportunity to participate.
And Swami want everyone to participate.
Everyone to participate.
Yes.
And so that physical fitness part was taken care of. However, Swami wanted it to grow to a higher level. So after a few years of this inter-campus competitions, Swami took it to a higher level, where Swami told that it should not be a competition. It should be something in terms of inner growth. Because the competition, when people can understand at a mundane level, people may relate competition to rivalry. But truly, competition and rivalry are not the same thing.
Yes.
In rivalry, there is something called a win and a loss. In competition, there is no win and there is no loss. There is only, as it is told in this very wonderful book, it's told, sometimes we win, sometimes we learn.
Oh, wow. You either are winning or learning.
Learning.
Yes.
So competition leads...
So you are all the time winning.
You are always winning. So competition is only winning in that.
Mm.
So Swami never wanted this type of physical fitness competitions to ultimately end up in rivalry.
Mm.
So Swami took it to a next level where Swami told that whatever type of these contests that you are going to be having should be held only within the campus.
Mm.
So Brindavan would have it separately, Prashant Nilayam would have it separately. Again it went to the level that even UG boys would have it separately, PG boys would have it separately. And then slowly Swami wanted to bring that all the students to come. Not from a competition perspective.
Come together, not for competition.
Competition. But possibly for celebration.
For celebration.
For
yeah.
celebration.
That's very beautiful. I think, you know, with youngsters, when people are in their 16, early 20s and, you know, when you're in your teens and generally between a campus and another campus, you know, there can come occasions when each person will feel that my campus is better than the
yeah.
other campus and
that's
that
right.
kind of sort of a negative feeling
of
negative shades of competition can arise. So before it went to that stage, Swami sort of
took it to a higher level.
You know, people come together only to celebrate.
And I remember in the year 1987-88, around that time Swami himself, I remember, initiated the bike stunts. These years we know that bike stunts is almost a regular part
yes.
of the sports meet. But I remember the first year Swami personally came and saw so many practices of the bike stunts.
Mm.
In one particular year, initially when Swami saw the bike stunts were not really so adventurous, I remember Swami even commenting, even anybody can do these type of bike stunts.
He wanted more
adventure.
Adventurous.
Adventure, because ultimately, the adventure, when Swami talks of adventure, Swami tells that we should let go fear.
Yes.
Because when Swami is there,
yes.
there should not be any fear.
Why fear?
Why fear?
When Swami is there, yes.
So Swami brought in that adventure part of it.
Mm.
I remember, because Swami insisted on some adventure, they even brought some fire-related stunts.
Mm.
Swami wanted students to outgrow their fears.
Wow.
But at the back of it, Swami wanted the students also to keep their reliance on Swami.
Yes.
Because truly fear goes
yes.
when we start relying and when we feel that Swami is near us.
Yes.
Swami developed that particular amount of courage,
mm.
sahasam, as Swami calls it in Telugu. Swami brought that courage among the
Utsaham,
students.
Utsaham, sahasam, dairyam.
Dairyam.
As Swami says, buddhi, shakti, parakramam.
Correct.
Which are the attributes of a divine person. And Swami wanted every student to rise
student
to that level.
Student to come to that particular level.
Mm.
And so there were bike stunts. I remember in another year, the Anantapur campus students put up a roller skates show. Very mm. graceful again.
In fact, the kind of feats that girl students do, it leaves many people stunned actually.
Correct. Yeah, nowadays. You are right. Very right. So I remember in the initial stages, it was more like scattered type of programs. But by the early 90s, the entire program had come into, as we just now talked about, as a celebration mode.
Mm.
That January 11th was kept specifically for all the campuses would come up and put up a program. And once the primary school students started participating,
oh, yeah.
it just that the entire thing again went to a totally different level where it was again total joy afterwards.
Absolutely. In fact, that reminds me of how Bhagwan mentioning that sports should not only improve everyone's health, but sport should lead to everyone experiencing joy.
Joy.
And this is what Swami said way back in the discourse during Sankranti in January 1990. But I think, you know, over the years, that is where sports has evolved. Because Swami says true humanness blossoms only when your body, mind and spirit are developed harmoniously.
True.
And I think sports is one medium through which this, you see this happen so gloriously.
Correct. I also remember years when Swami personally encouraged the campuses to come together and perform the January 11th event.
Mm.
I remember it happened, I think, in the year 2000, when all the campuses, men's campuses, they came together and it was one single item that was put. It was also repeated, I think, in the year 2015.
Okay, so the different campuses together did
together
one
put up one,
on one theme.
On one theme.
Wow.
Hmm. So the amount of cooperation, inclusiveness
wow.
that came up, again, then it automatically was the entire student community, the teacher community, lived with just one aim, that we all want to see that beautiful smile on Swami's face.
Wow.
So that is ultimately the aim of sports. Yes. We should have that inner development, yes, inner contentment.
Yes.
Because if we please Swami, yes, we are actually pleasing the entire world.
I mean, if you see the way the sports has evolved, it started off as a competition, then it moved on to cooperation, then it became a celebration, and now divinization.
Divinization.
Everything,
right?
You know, you do it only for Swami.
Only for Swami.
And you just feel that we all should come together and have such a spectacular display that at the end of it, Swami should be just beaming,
correct,
in smiles.
That's right. And Swami would ensure that every student after the sports meet, that was also one more very joyful event, Swami would come to the mandir, and every group would get a photograph,
yes,
with Swami.
Oh, yes.
That was, again, a wonderful joy for all,
absolutely,
the students to,
absolutely,
get. Almost literally every student would have a group photograph with Swami.
That sends me back to my days in the hostel and when I was doing my schooling in Prashanthi Nilayam. Because I remember after the event in the Hillview Stadium, actually I would say that our sports meet started after that,
yeah,
because we would sprint to mandir like we are possessed, because we want to reach mandir even before Swami's car reaches the,
correct,
cyclone hall, because, and we want to organize ourselves in different groups, whichever group event we were in, and Swami would go personally to every group and give photographs. So now we would be all in sweat and, you know, huggered with all that running. But Swami would be that beaming self,
yeah,
and give pictures to everyone.
Yes.
I mean, you see, you know, that was Swami's involvement.
Involvement.
He was involved in the selection of the programs. He was at every stage of the program, he was involved, you know.
Correct.
I think he would always be inquiring to see what the program, he would come for the rehearsal sessions. I remember him sitting for hours together for march pass sessions,
yeah,
just to see the march pass.
Correct.
You will get bored to see the march pass, but Swami can do that for days together.
Yes, I have seen that. Swami would enjoy every single session, whether it was a practice session, whether it was a real performance session, Swami would just enjoy it. And Swami's involvement was so deep. I remember a few instances in this regard. One of the years, I think it was somewhere in 95 or so, the students had decided that they would put up a small dance, African dance.
Mm-hmm.
And some senior students were ready to teach others. And the warden had just gone to Swami and told Swami the young students would be learning an African dance. He had just told during bhajan time in the morning. By 10 o'clock, we got a message Swami was in the ground to see the dance.
Oh my God.
The dance was not even conceived. But Swami wanted to see the dance.
Utsaham sahas.
Yeah.
Dhairyam. Swami's utsaha is always at the pinnacle.
And he was just waiting.
Waiting.
And when the senior students came to just show, display what were the steps that they would like to do, Swami told, I don't want these people to do. I want young boys to do.
Oh.
So Swami wanted, though it was told just an hour before, Swami, yes, even wanted it to have to be translated to the young students,
wow,
so that they should be learning.
So, you know, just that one visit had such powerful ramifications,
yeah,
it would have had. Immediately you know what would have probably taken 15 days to learn, guys would have just learned it in two days, they would have learned
to learn.
And the message is very clear, Swami wants little children to do it.
Correct.
So, you know, what would have probably taken you 2-3 weeks, and probably you would have thought, okay, let the older boys learn and then the little children learn. You just got the message loud and clear that Swami wants it tomorrow, and you believe in him, it will happen.
Yeah. And Swami did come and see some of the rehearsals later, and when the younger boys were doing, Swami was much more happy.
Wow.
Actually, that.
Wow.
That was one incident. The other incident that I remember was, again, somewhere around that time, I was coordinating one of the bicycle stunts, BMX bicycle stunts,
mm-hmm,
performance during the sports meet. In fact, one of the very interesting commentary parts, it just continues to remember, I remember that there were two high school students who, while driving the bicycles, they would change their bicycles.
While riding the bicycles?
While riding the bicycles.
They changed the cycles?
They changed the cycles.
Oh, wow.
I remember the commentary at that time was so catchy, and Swami was so happy with that commentary. One of the students who gave the commentary to the audience, it was a live commentary, he told, you all would have seen foreign exchange, but see on the ground, bike exchange. It was so interesting. And Swami was very happy. So Swami would give even importance to such type of small,
yeah,
innovations. And as a part of the BMX bicycle stunts, we had planned for a bicycle stunt which would coming down a ladder blindfolded from around a height of around 20 feet.
Okay.
So we had built a structure and that structure had been kept on the side of the ground yet to be tested. Swami had come on a round in his car. He had seen the structure and very shortly, as the coordinator of that particular program, I was called by the senior teachers. And Swami had asked them to go and find out what the structure was, how it was going to be used, whether that structure was safe. And Swami wanted to ensure that nothing harmful would happen, untoward would happen while using that structure. And so Swami went to that inner small specific details. The idea was that while sports is a celebration, Swami also wanted it to be done in a very careful manner.
Yes, but I mean, I think on one hand you see that Swami is goading every student to go beyond their limits.
Yes.
You know, perform something spectacular. At the same time, at the earthly way also, he is trying to ensure that, you know, all the precautions are taken for the safety. Of course, he is there always to protect, and which he has done a million times and continues to do.
Yes.
But as teachers, as people who are looking after the students, have you done your job well enough? If you have done a structure, have you seen that it is perfect?
Yes, you're right. And of course, that Swami was very happy to see that particular event on that last performance day. And Swami applauded that particular student very well. So, when we do our work properly, it ensures that the overall performance comes out well. But more importantly, when we do our work properly, it also gives us the inner satisfaction.
Yes.
And that itself leads to our spiritual development.
Absolutely.
So that is what Swami ultimately wanted in all these sports meet events. It is not just a physical fitness event. It's not just even mental concentration. It should ultimately lead to our spiritual development.
In fact, that is what Bhagwan said in one of those discourses in 1994, again during sports meet, when he was speaking to the students on the prize distribution day. He said, what is important is the sense of self-satisfaction derived from playing the game well.
True.
And this was Bhagwan's principal message. Swami started off saying that it is clear that originally sports activities have been promoted in the interest of health and strength. People eagerly took part in games for the improvement of their physique and to provide entertainment to the public. Sports form an integral part of the scheme of studies in our institutions. But Swami said not only should there be participation, there should be greater awareness and appreciation of the philosophy and principles governing the sports and games. And the aim of sports should not be victory by any means, fair or foul. Whoever may win, others should greet it with fraternal feelings. I think this is what happens in our hostel, isn't
it? Yes, you're right.
You know, whoever wins, you always feel happy for the other person. And with time, every person grows to that level that I'm doing it because I'm doing it for my Swami.
My Swami, you're right. In fact, Swami was so wonderful in actually punning with words. I remember this particular, again, discourse. It was on the prize distribution day. We all know that the word prize in Sanskrit and Telugu is called Bahumati.
Ah, Bahumati.
And I remember in that discourse, Swami told, I'm sure all of you have got Bahumati's rewards. But Swami took it to the next level. Swami told, Bahumati in Sanskrit can also be seen as Bahu several, Mati minds.
Yes.
Swami told that, I'm not just interested in Bahumati. I want all of you to rise to the level of Ekamati.
Wow. One-pointedness.
Concentration. One mind towards the Swami.
Wow. The Bahumati, I mean, there's so many minds becoming one.
One mind. That's what concentrated towards Swami.
Towards the
So
mind.
We could see that how Swami would always bring that spiritual element in every single event that was a part of the curriculum of the integral education. And sports was one such wonderful event where Swami ultimately taught us those spiritual lessons.
So when you reflect on your life, you know, you as a student participating in the sports and games activities, and then later on as a teacher, when you started guiding the students, what were the changes in your perspective towards the sports and this entire event that came about in your journey with Swami?
I would like to substantiate this thing with an incident. We had put up a drama from Vrindavan campus, and around 7-8 teachers among us, we were also, all of us were involved in the coordinating the drama. And Swami was so happy with the drama the students, Swami gave all the students wonderful photographs in Sai Kulwant Hall. All the students had got photographs, and then it was decided by us teachers at that moment that we will also go for a photograph. As we were posing for a photograph with
all the teachers who were involved
in the drama,
in the production of the drama.
And the moment we were all posing for the drama, immediately Swami told us to move away.
Oh.
Swami told us to move away.
Swami told the teachers to move away.
Teachers to move away. And the moment Swami told us to move away, we all moved away from that scene. Some of the very beautiful insights that I got out of that was, firstly, Swami wanted this entire dramas and the sports to be, Swami wanted to project the students. Swami wanted to project the students, how students perform wonderfully during these few days. So Swami first of all wanted to project the students. But at a much inner level, Swami possibly wanted us teachers to understand that our role was to coordinate the activities and feel happy when our students, they perform wonderfully in front of Swami. Swami wanted us to internalize and get that inner satisfaction that when students perform, Swami's blessings was always there on us. So wow. Swami wanted us to internalize and learn that we should not be craving for
As a student, when you did a drama, you wanted a picture with Swami.
Yes, you're right.
But now as a teacher, you get the same satisfaction when a student gets a picture
student
with Swami.
Student gets a picture, and Swami wanted to get us to derive happiness out of that.
To reach that stage.
It was not an external reward.
Yes.
Swami wanted us to have that internal reward, that internal satisfaction within us, actually speaking.
Wow. So slowly, when you think about it little deeply, for a student, if Swami doesn't give, would not have given a photograph, the student will feel bad.
Correct.
Can feel bad, sad, you know. So Swami wanted that the students can aspire for it and he will give it.
Yes.
But as a teacher, if Swami does not give you the chance also, because you have lived with Swami for so many years.
Correct.
I know Swami still loves me.
Yes.
If he has done it, then he has done it with a purpose. And then, you know, it will take you on to a journey of self-introspection.
Introspection and self-evolution.
Self-evolution.
In fact, I just remembered that during this particular idea, one more very beautiful insight. In fact, when Swami asked us to move away, Swami didn't even look at us. Swami actually just asked us to move away. Swami didn't look at us. So, for a student, if Swami doesn't look at them, it's a tremendous amount of feeling that what had happened? Why did such a thing happen? But for us teachers, Swami wanted us to grow in maturity.
Yes.
And again, it was Swami's inspiration. Swami just gave me this particular insight that even if Swami did not look at me, the insight was Swami always looks after me.
Yes.
And even in that word after, you find that the word at is always there.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Swami is always there with us. Swami is always there looking after us.
Yes.
So, if you see from a long-term perspective, Swami is looking after us is so important, so valuable and so joyful.
Yes.
Because that gives us that sense that we are always with Swami. Swami is always with us.
And as you know, you began by saying that what we do is not important. How we do it,
is important.
I mean, if you always keep the focus on that, how we do, if you are doing it for Swami with that purity, with that sense of surrender, with that sense of lack of doership, then Swami anyway will continue to bless us,
continue to
look after us. We should not hanker for rewards. We should not even think what way blessings are coming. Am I getting a photograph with Swami when Bhagwan was there physically? Or even now, did someone acknowledge my contribution?
Correct.
Did the warden congratulate me for putting so much of effort or training the boys? Now you don't think about
it. You don't have to worry about it. It's not as important as how we have grown out of this.
Yes, yes.
In fact, that's what I would like to see is that rather than what we have done for sports, what sports have done for us, that is much more important nowadays.
Wow, wow, beautiful. Amazing. I mean, that is the beauty of working in Bhagwan's institution, isn't it? I mean, every day you are here, whether you consciously do it or not, you will grow spiritually.
You're right.
The system is engineered in such a manner that every time you are engaged in any activity, it will contribute to your spiritual growth. It's just that if you're aware of it, then it's a more joyable experience, more enjoyable experience.
You're right.
And
you're right.
If you're not aware of it also, it is going to happen. It is bound to happen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the sooner you realize it, the better.
Correct.
And the more enjoyable the journey.
You're right.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much for sharing these beautiful insights. And I think it's a really great time to be here. And really, Swami's blessing that you could come to the studio and spare this moment. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Bishu. I pray to Swami to bless all of us, that we continue to grow in maturity, we continue to feel Swami's presence, and we understand the real important lessons that should come out of this sports meet. Thanks once
Thank
again.
Thank you, sir.
Sairam.
So that was Dr. N. Shiv Kumar from the Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, and perhaps you got a very beautiful overview of what happens in the annual sports and cultural meet, and through that, how Bhagwan cultivates the hearts of the students. Every heart needs some polishing, some training. Every heart needs some bit of refining. Every mind needs some chiseling. And all that happens so beautifully, sometimes so subtly, sometimes so visibly, sometimes invisibly, but it happens. It happens silently sometimes, but it is always something that happens strongly. Yes, it is something that sets the students and the teachers onto a new gear in their spiritual path. In fact, I also had the opportunity to talk to Dr. Shiv Kumar about another very beautiful initiative that he has initiated in the Vrindavan campus, and that is about the Gayatri Mantra, and that is also connected to sports meet in the way that, you know, the, all the kind of beautiful feats that the students do during the sports meet, where do they get that energy? How does that happen? What makes the students in Bhagwan's institutions so very vibrant? From where is their springs of energy coming from? So there are very beautiful secrets there, and there is one secret that Shiv Kumar sir shared, and I will share that with you. But before that, just even as we were thinking about the sports meet, let's spend a little time in the vibe of the sports meet. Let's enjoy the tart song of the sports meet, because that is something that conveys this energy, this beautiful mood of the sports meet, and then we'll move on to the next conversation.
से तेरी झूमे सारा जहां तेरे एक इशारे पर रुक जाए जमीन आसमान तेरे संसाई हम चले दूर तुझसे अब ना रहे ख्वाहिशें हैं ये हमारी सुन लो ए हम सफर चोटों का तुम हो मरहम गीतों की तुम सरगम तेरी रहमतों से हमारी सांसें
हम हैं तुम्हारे तुम हमारे जन्मों के मीत हो अरे
So that was the torch song of annual sports and cultural meet of this year, 2019. And as I told you, let's move on to that conversation with Shivkumar where he's sharing with us what is it that is making the students that vibrant self, that energetic self that they are, and the lovely experiment that he has done with the boys in the Vrindavan campus.
Sairam everyone and welcome once again to Good Morning with Gayatri Mantra. Today, it's our opportunity to have with us Dr. N. Shivakumar, who has been with Bhagwan for more than 37 years as a student and later on as a faculty member. He was earlier with the Department of Management Studies and now he's in the Vrindavan campus teaching the students their commerce and management and accounting. And he is someone who is not only engaged in teaching the students the subjects of commerce and accounting and management, but also about how to empower themselves with the power of the Gayatri Mantra. And he has done it not with just one or two individuals or not with just himself, but as the student body as a whole. Earlier we brought you the conversation with the warden of the Sri Satyasai Higher Secondary School, and I shared with you the experiment that the students of the Higher Secondary School in Prashantinilayam have done and what benefit they have received. We have now someone from the Vrindavan campus. So, sir, please tell us your experiments with the student body experiencing the power of the Gayatri Mantra.
Sai Ram to everyone. Thank you, Bishu. And thank you, Radio Sai, for this very wonderful opportunity to talk about the Gayatri Mantra, especially in the morning time. And that's why it becomes a good morning and continues to be a good day.
Yes, sir.
The experiment that I had done with regard to the Gayatri Mantra was actually related to one of the subjects that I used to teach, which is actually a very unique part of the facet of the institute curriculum, which we call as the awareness course.
Yes.
In which we teach the students values and how to practice them in their daily life and especially when they become older in their professional lives. This particular awareness course was entitled Eternal Values in a Changing World.
Wow.
And the prescribed book for this was Swami's own Dharmavahini.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Dharmavahini, in two chapters, Swami talks about the importance of chanting of the Gayatri Mantra.
Yes.
And Swami tells its significance in our daily life as well as our spiritual growth.
I think that's very significant. I mean, Dharmavahini is such a sacred treatise on following the path of righteousness.
Yeah.
And in that, Swami himself has written two chapters only on the Gayatri Mantra. Wow.
And so, in order to teach the students the importance, significance and the utility of chanting the Gayatri Mantra and imbibing its essence, with Swami's inspiration, I created this experiment.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an activity for the students. It's actually an outdoor activity.
Okay.
So, classes of normally a size of around 100 to 120 students, and I divide them into groups of around 15 each.
Okay.
And I randomly select one student from each of those groups.
Uh-huh.
And they would come to possibly 7, 6, depending upon the total number of groups. And I would give them a cricket ball at initially and ask them to throw it to a particular distance as per their convenience. and I would have volunteers who would mark the distances that they would have thrown.
Okay.
After that, I would take all the students of that particular group, so that will be 6 to 7 groups. They will all sit in a circle and they would start chanting the Gayatri Mantram with that student who threw the cricket ball in the middle of the circle. And as they chanted the Gayatri Mantram loudly, there would be yet another volunteer who would actually explain to them the significance of chanting the Gayatri Mantram, its meaning, and the importance by which the students would understand that the Gayatri Mantram is ultimately the source of all creativity, power,
yes,
as well as energy.
Wow.
And the entire exercise in the circle would culminate with the students doing a visualization exercise, wherein the students sitting in the periphery would visualize that by the chanting of the Gayatri Mantram, they are actually transferring their energy to the student who would be sitting in the middle.
In the middle. Oh, okay.
And so this entire visualization exercise along with the significance would go on for around 15 minutes or so. And then all the students would come back to the original place where they were seated. And these very same 7 students who originally were asked to throw the cricket ball would be asked once again to do the same thing. But one important thing that you could see in their faces itself, they would be more energized.
Wow.
They would be more vibrant. And I would ask them to throw the cricket ball. Invariably, you would find that they would throw it for a much larger distance.
Wow.
And it has happened to me year after year, batch after batch, for possibly more than the last, close to last 2 decades.
2 decades?
2 decades.
Successful. Every batch.
Every batch.
Wow.
And so I use that to tell the students that if Gayatri Mantram could be so useful even at a physical level of throwing the cricket ball, how much powerful that Gayatri Mantram chanting could be in our own spiritual development.
Wow.
And so I would clarify the special significance of the Gayatri Mantram, as Swami would tell that Gayatri Mantram actually stands for Gayantam Trayate Iti Gayatri.
Yes.
Those people who chant the Gayatri Mantram are actually protected by the Gayatri Mantra.
Wow.
And as per our culture, the Gayatri Mantram is supposed to be chanted during the Sandhya time.
Yes.
And that's what was called as Sandhya Vandanam.
Yes.
But Swami has a very unique interpretation of this Sandhya Vandanam. Normal Sanskrit understanding, Sandhya Vandanam means Sandhya, that is, Sandhya is essentially a time of unification.
Yes. Yes.
So when the night unifies with the day,
yes,
and when the morning unifies with the afternoon,
yes,
and then the afternoon when it goes into the night, that was the 3 Sandhya times. But Swami gave a very different interpretation to this. Swami broke the word Sandhya into Samdhya, Samyak Dhyanam.
Wow.
Good meditation. And Swami told to do good meditation,
anytime is
you
fine.
Could do it anytime. And that's why Swami encouraged the students chant Gayatri anytime. You can chant it while eating, you can chant it while sleeping, you can chant it while bathing, you can chant it while walking,
playing, studying.
Studying and Gayatri would give its benefits.
Yeah, wow.
That was the very wonderful impact. And I have afterwards students coming to me and telling that this particular exercise had had a deep impact in their life. And when they were in their professional careers at specific crisis times,
yes,
they have actually chanted the Gayatri Mantra and they have felt its protection.
Protection,
and
yes,
they have felt Swami protecting them spiritually.
Wow.
It has been so useful to them.
Amazing, amazing. I think this is something that so many people vouch for. They have felt the power and the protection of the Gayatri Mantra. And you are someone who have seen that year after year.
Yes.
Can I ask you, how did you get initiated into the Gayatri Mantra?
I got initiated into Gayatri Mantra actually at a very young age, possibly when I was in my 3rd, 4th class itself. As a part of our family tradition, I was done the Upanayanam, and so I became a Dvija.
Okay.
And Gayatri Mantram chanting was a part of my daily routine. However, what I saw it as a significance was, which came a few years later, when I was studying for my 7th, 8th class in a place called Coimbatore in Tamil Nadu. All of a sudden, a pandit, a scholar of the Kanchi Math, came by himself, was willing to teach me and my father Vedam chanting. So I remember sitting in his presence for almost every day 1 to 2 hours, and it happened for possibly some 2 to 3 years. It so happened that because of that Vedam learning that happened to me, by the time I joined in the Vrindavan campus for my 11th class.
Yes.
I had known most of the mantras
yes.
that students would normally chant.
Yes.
But I would still like to attribute that to the blessing of the Gayatri mantra, which started much earlier.
So your journey on the Vedic path started with the initiation of the Gayatri mantra.
And after I joined the institute and the college at Vrindavan in 1982, one of the important ways by which Swami has blessed me, I have got these blessings of Bhagavan, was through Vedam chanting. And it has been an integral part of my journey with Swami in the last close to 37 years. So, Gayatri led me to Vedam chanting, which led me to Vrindavan and more
close. Bountiful of grace.
And bountiful, close encounters and bountiful of grace from Swami.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. In fact, I don't know if you have seen, when you mentioned about Sandhya Vandanam and Upanayanam, in the earlier times, how Swami used to initiate children into the Gayatri Mantra.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have heard Bhagwan chanting and if you have seen those videos or if you have interacted with people, because you are someone who were initiated the Gayatri Mantra so early in life.
I remember this incident so specifically. This was in the year 1984 and Swami had done a mass Upanayanam for all the students plus some devotees, children in Poonachandra Hall. We do have a video of that also.
Yes.
In which the beautiful thing was Swami went and actually wore the Upanayanam for each of the Vatus.
Yeah, he put it on.
He himself put it for each of the Vatus.
Yes.
And then Swami later, as a part of the discourse, initiated the entire gathering into the Gayatri Mantra.
He chanted and everyone
followed. He chanted
followed.
And everyone repeated. And that is what today is available where everybody chants the Gayatri Mantra. However, I remember the original version in which Swami chanted. It was so interesting in which Swami chanted. Let me chant it for the benefit of everyone. Swami chanted it this way. Om Bhurbhuvasuvah Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yonah Prachodayat Om. Interestingly, Swami started with the Om and again ended with the Om. Swami did this thrice, and every time Swami started with the Om, ended with the Om. When Swami went to the second chanting, there were actually two Oms. That is starting Om, ending Om, and once again the starting Om. Swami chanted this, and it was actually for me little bit surprising why should Om should be chanted both at the beginning as well as at the end of the Gayatri Mantra.
Generally we chant only at the beginning.
Generally we chant only at the beginning. And it was much later when I was interacting with a person who was doing a lot of intense sadhana, and I told that this is how Swami used to initiate the children as well as people into chanting Gayatri Mantra. He told me a very interesting facet about this particular type of chanting. He told this type of chanting with the Om at the beginning and Om at the end is actually called, technically is called as the Kumbhaka Gayatri.
Wow.
Wherein during the first Om at the beginning of the Gayatri Mantra chanting, the breath is taken in. And during the Gayatri Mantra chanting, the breath is retained. And at the end of the mantra, when again Om is chanted, the breath is released.
Okay.
So, when the Gayatri Mantra is being chanted, the breath is retained, which is the Kumbhaka state in the
Kumbhaka, Purakarichaka.
It's the Pranayama, it's the Kumbhaka. Yes. And he told that is the highest way of, best way and highest level of chanting the Gayatri Mantra.
Oh.
And Swami had initiated everyone directly into that highest level of chanting the Gayatri Mantra.
No one had any idea, but that is the
highest way of chanting.
You start with the Om and end with the Om.
End with the Om.
And if you can chant it, when after you have inhaled with the Om, retain the breath, chant the entire mantra, and then with the Om you exhale your breath.
Exhale the breath.
Wow. Wow.
It was a very interesting revelation to me when I came to know that this is something very unique and we had been doing this very naturally.
When Swami just gifted it to us and we had no clue that we had actually got a diamond.
Diamond.
Yes. Wow. Amazing. This is how you also initiate now. Guide boys to
when
chant.
When I ask them to chant, I ask them to chant it this way. And they enjoy the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra.
Wow.
All the students, they like the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra and they feel the energy and they feel the presence. From a physical perspective, scientifically we see that the Gayatri Mantra is actually a prayer to the Lord Sun.
Yes.
And Sun is considered to be the basic source of energy in this earth.
Yes.
But at a much higher level, it is not just the sun, it is the source of all energy.
Yes.
It's a source of all creativity.
Yes.
And that's how Gayatri Mantra acts as the source of all spiritual development.
Absolutely. In fact, we are recording this at a time when the annual sports and cultural meet just concluded, and you have seen this beautiful tapestry of creativity and color. And one of the ways the boys feel empowered to put up such spectacular performance is these beautiful spiritual practices which have become part of the Sri Satyasai system of integral education. And we are so happy that we are recording this on a Makara Sankranti day when the sun is traveling northward. So let us pray that our direction towards the Lord moves north. We move on the noble path, Godward path, towards a glorious path. Yeah. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you
for your time.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Dr. N. Shivakumar from the Brindavan campus, and as I told you, he shared one of the secrets of the sports meet. What makes the boys what they are? How is it that they do multiple activities? What they achieve in a span of, say, 10 days or 15 days before the annual sports meet is something anyone else probably would take 2 months or 4 months or 6 months. And every day also, if you look at the schedule of the students in the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning in the schools and colleges in Prashantinilam, Brindavan, Anandpur, the amount of things that the students do during the 12 or 14 waking hours of the day is phenomenal. And all this happens because of the grace of Bhagwan derived through beautiful spiritual practices, and this is the reason why it can be replicated. We just need to bring in that discipline, bring in that determination, bring in that devotion into our lives, and every student everywhere can shine like the Sai students. So dear listeners, with that, it's time to pass on the baton to the hosts of the next program. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to bishu@radiosai.org, B-I-S-H-U. And you know our WhatsApp number, 9393-258-258. So if you have anything to share, please do so through 9393-258-258. I'll be back next week, and we will continue with our Brindavan story, which we had paused in the last few episodes because of the sports meet and because so much happening in Prashanti, and I thought that we really need to soak ourselves in these vibes. We'll go back to the beautiful story of the genesis and the blossoming of Brindavan, because this year we celebrate the 50 years of the Brindavan campus. So we'll go back to that series in the coming episodes of Outside Inside Deep Inside. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.